This is Studio 360. I'm Kurt Anderson. Last year, Jeff Bridges won an Academy Award for playing Bad Blake, a washed-up country singer in the film Crazy Heart.
Well, it rained last night.
You write me 5 new songs, I give you back end. I ship 2 million albums every time I release them.
I've written a new song in 3 years. Too many goddamn songs.
You write some of the best material out there, Bad. I want some.
Wrote. Not right.
Well, Jeff Bridges has written a lot of songs in real life. He's got a new album called Jeff Bridges that he's made with his old friend T-Bone Burnett, the legendary music producer. Jeff Bridges, welcome to Studio 360.
Thanks, Kurt. Good to be here.
So, was there a direct connection between that role and that movie and deciding to do this record?
Yeah, I think there is a connection. I've been playing music since I've been a teenager. I put an album out about 10 years ago as well. So I've been, music has been a big part of my life for a long time. But you're right, I did figure after this movie, the turf was kind of primed for, making an album. If I ever wanted to make one, now was the time.
T-Bone Burnett has been on this program, partly I wanted him on because he seems kind of like this ubiquitous figure in all cool music of the last two generations. Did you learn stuff from him as you were making this record?
Oh, man, so much. I mean, one of the things that, one of the tips he gave me, he said, what I'm going to do for you, Jeff, is I'm going to make a playlist of all of the songs that Bad Blake would have listened to growing up in Fort Worth, because that's where T-Bone grew up and Stephen Bruton grew up. And the list included guys you might suspect, like Hank Williams and Merle Haggard and Waylon Jennings and all those guys. But it also had cats like Ornette Coleman, who was also, the great jazz saxophone player who was from Fort Worth. The Beatles and Bob Dylan and Leonard Cohen. And I remember asking him, how about Captain Beefheart? And Bone said, oh, yeah, Captain Beefheart's got to be on the list. So that, really opened the kind of list that or the kind of music that Bad Blake, might have been inspired by and enjoyed. That's one of Bone's specialties is sort of a genreless kind of music where he draws from so many different types of music that you can't really put his music in any one category.
I want to play a track, one of the ones you wrote called Falling Short. Where did this song come from?
Now, this is a very old song. This goes back, 30, maybe even 40 years. Bone and I went through about 60 or 70 songs, and if you're lucky on any kind of creative project, you bring stuff to it trying to make the thing. And then after a certain point, if you're lucky, it starts to tell you what it wants. And this was one of the songs that T-Bone responded to. And it still kind of, resonates with me as well. So it's an old song. It's about falling short, being so concerned with hitting this the bullseye, the target that you're aiming for, that sometimes you're missing what is really there for you to receive, that you're not able to appreciate because you're so concentrated on this little target.
Am I falling short, or do I fly? Well, I miss the mark. Do I hit the sky? In my wondering, do I answer why I'm alive? To make a space, bushwhackle path, leave a sign, dodge the rest. Myself and leave the math to God.
That's Falling Short, written and performed by Jeff Bridges with, who's accompanying you there?
I believe that's Sam Phillips.
Uh-huh. Who you have on this record along with Roseanne Cash.
Oh, man, there's Roseanne Cash and, you know, it's like making movies.
Uh-huh.
Casting is about, it's about 99% of the whole deal, you know, bringing the artists together and then kind of letting them rip. And you know, I look to T-Bone as a director, and what I'm looking for in a director is, you know, someone who can create the environment for everyone to do their best work, and usually that comes from a very kind of relaxed place.
When you're acting, you're inside a character who may bear some slight resemblance to who you are, but it's a character. Here, it's you, right? I mean, are the experiences of recording these songs with emotional authenticity, is that a very different thing than playing a character in a film?
Oh, I'm a character, too.
I guess you are.
We're all characters, you know. And I don't really know who the hell I am anyway. I remember doing an interview once, and some guy, he was over at my house, and some guy asked me, so are you one of those kind of actors that, you know, all the other actors have to call you by your character's name, and, you know, do you bring your work home? Are you constantly in character? And I said, no, I'm not really one of those guys. And my wife happened to be in the room, and she, you know, let out a big snort and guffawed. And I said, "What is that all about?" And she said, "Well, you don't think you bring it home, but you do."
And as you say, as a public persona, and God knows, making a record is a public enactment of a version, a guy called Jeff Bridges, the character Jeff Bridges, who's a singer.
That's right.
The role you're probably most famous for is the dude in the 1998 movie The Big Lebowski. Do you feel relieved now with this new efflorescence of success you've had the last couple of years to be getting away from being the dude?
No, man.
No?
No.
Good. Well, let's listen to a clip of that film for any of our listeners who are not yet fully Lebowski crazed.
Hey, man.
How do you do, dude?
I wondered if I'd see you again.
I wouldn't miss the semis. How things been going?
Strikes and gutters, ups and downs.
Sure, I've got you.
Yeah. Thanks, Gary. Well, take care, man. Gotta get back.
Sure. Take it easy, dude.
Oh, yeah.
I know that you will.
Yeah, well, the dude abides.
That phrase, the dude abides, is I've seen on hats, I've seen on T-shirts. It is part of the, it's one of those American cultural icons now. As you, there are now Lebowski festivals. Why do you think that film and that character, your character, became such a cult object, bigger than any other one I can even imagine of the last dozen years?
Man, it's just such a good movie. Those guys, those brothers, the Coen brothers, they just know how to do it, man. It's just like falling off a log for them. But I'm when I watch the TV, I'm a clicker guy. You know, I'll just spin the channels. And
you're a guy, in other words.
And I'll normally, you know, when a movie come, I'll watch a little bit. You know, a movie of mine, I'll watch a scene or two. And with Lebowski, it'll be, I'm just going to watch till Turturro licks the ball, and then I'm going to spin.
That is a bowling ball.
Yes. Thank you for that. We must clarify that for the unknowledgeable Lebowski people. But I get hooked, you know. I mean, it's just like a mind candy, that thing. Just one great scene after another, and wonderful characters.
I'm not sure there's any American actor these days who is, among all the other things you've done, and are so beloved by the people who come to see the movies. And I was trying to figure out why that is. And I guess, he seems authentic and comfortable in his skin and just like a regular middle American guy. Yet you're the Southern California son of a movie star. You don't have the bio of a regular middle American guy at all. So how does that all happen? Why do you sound like you grew up in West Texas?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. Well, for one thing, a big movie in my in my filmography is, you know, The Last Picture Show.
Right.
And that was shot in Wichita, you know, outside of Wichita Falls, Archer City. And I've got a, you know, a real connection with Texas as far as playing, you know, several stories that take place here. But the other thing you're talking about, I don't know. You know, my my folks really, they really always taught us kids about the family of man, you know, how we're all in this together. We're all one big family. And so maybe that's, you know, I go out and do my work and I'm kind of representing the family.
So you were well brought up is what the explanation is.
I think so. I mean, I had some cool parents, man. I mean, both of them were really, you know, really unique. Not perfect, you know, not perfect by any means, but gosh, they gave us a lot of love.
In 2008, to demonstrate your range, that you're not always playing cowboyish, grizzled cowboyish guys, you were in one of the stars of the film How to Lose Friends and Alienate People, in which you played a character who runs a big glossy magazine like Vanity Fair and who's based on my old friend Graydon Carter, the real-life editor of Vanity Fair, who created Spy Magazine back in the 80s with me. I want to play a scene where your character in How to Lose Friends and Alienate People argues with a reporter.
A free press is the last defense against the tyranny of stupidity.
Save me your tin pot philosophy.
It's not mine, it's yours. First issue of Snipe.
Would you grow the fuck up? You are not Robin Hood. You never were. You bitch about famous people for the same reason I used to bitch about them. Because they got invited to the party and you didn't. Well, Sydney, you're at the party now.
That's Jeff Bridges in How to Lose Friends and Alienate People. Just hearing your voice in that film versus your voice here now versus your much more Texan voice in Crazy Heart that we heard earlier, just on that level, there are different versions of Jeff Bridges that are available.
Yeah, that's one of the things I set out to really try to do. My father, Lloyd Bridges, he had a lot of success in the early 60s with a TV series called Sea Hunt.
I remember it well.
And he was so good in that part of Mike Nelson that people thought he was a skin diver.
Yes.
And so the result of that was that he got a lot of skin diving scripts.
I didn't know there were a lot of skin diving scripts.
Yes, exactly. And while he was, you know, it was, you know, terrific in some ways, you know. It was frustrating for him because he's a, you know, not too many people know that he replaced Richard Kiley in Man of La Mancha on Broadway. You know, he's a Shakespearean actor. He's a wonderful comedian. So he had a lot of frustration developing that strong persona. So I really kind of set out to not do that, and I do my best to, you know, shift my characters around from movie to movie. And also, I think, you know, being a movie lover myself, I know when I go see a movie where a guy, where one of the main actor has a strong persona, it's very hard for me to place him in this new character, you know, when I've seen him as this other guy. So, you know, I remember after Lebowski, it was wonderful to play the President of the United States in The Contender. You know, that's that kind of thing. I kind of go for that.
Jeff Bridges, I want to thank you very much, and congratulations on this album. It's terrific.
Thank you, Kirk. Good talking to you, man.
Jeff Bridges' new album is out right now, and it's called Jeff Bridges.
Well, I came out swinging through the center field wall, and I caught a fastball, and I touched them all. But I burned out my engines and needed a break. Where all that's required is the time it would take.